So let us go to the scriptures, and I call this Torah portion, or Torah readings, or our time together. Vezot HaBracha. Here is the blessing. Tomorrow we'll be celebrating in the synagogue a joyful and exciting holiday, Simchat Torah. This holiday has a deep meaning. Throughout the year, we have scrolled through the Torah, and on this day, we will read the final chapter of the Torah. And also tomorrow, we will scroll back to its beginning and we'll read the first chapter. Have you heard this expression, turn the page? That is, leave the past and start over, or leave something behind and go forward. How often do we want to turn the page in our lives? Leave behind the past year with all its problems and losses. How sometimes we want to wake up in the morning and not remember what happened to us yesterday. Unfortunately, this is not always the case. The rewinding of the scroll reminds us of that. In the days when the Torah was written, there were no books, and it was impossible to turn the page. The scroll is not a book and cannot be flipped back to the first page. It must be rewound to the beginning. And to do this, you have to scroll through the entire text. And if you know the Torah, then when you rewind the scroll, the entire text passes before your eyes. You may recall the whole past path, the whole cycle of readings, everything that the Lord showed you in the past year. And one more important point here. It is challenging to rewind the Torah scroll alone, and it is better if you get help to do that. The same in our lives. We need help from the Lord and the help of friends to overcome the difficulties of the past and strive forward. Our lives consist of cycles. Let me read from the last and the first chapters of the Torah. First place is Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his vigor gone. Bnei Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. And let us read from Bereshit, the first book of the scriptures. Bereshit in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep, and the Ruach Elohim was hovering upon the surface of the water. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, so God distinguished the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So there was evening and there was morning one day. Today, I would like to talk about our journey through life. And let us open also 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, and this will be as a basis for our discussion. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Loved ones, I urge you as strangers and sojourners to keep away from the fleshly cravings that war against the soul. Scriptures call us strangers in this world, and our lives a journey. We are strangers and sojourners. Our lives are not like a straight line. They're constantly changing, often going in cycles. I like an expression, life cycle. And I believe the Torah is an excellent example of this. It ends with the death of Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, and begins with a new chapter of creation. We will always face different periods in our lives, victories and losses, successes and failures, joy and sorrow. I would like to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season, and a time for every activity under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to discard. A time to tear apart and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. When I read this place of scripture, I see the key word for an understanding of this text. It is in verse 1, the word everything. Let us say together everything. Of course, we want our lives to consist of strength, victories, and successes, so that sorrow and difficulties will avoid us. But it does not happen this way. Our great Rabbi and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah taught us and made this truly an essential part of the good news. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have shalom. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." We will have troubles. It is a part of life on this earth, a huge part throughout our journey of life. But take heart, Yeshua have overcome the world. Of course, trouble is not a pleasant experience for us, but there is no other way to victory, only through this difficult path. This is good news for all of us, especially those who are going through difficult times right now. There will be sorrows and there will be joy. There will be falls. There will also be ups. After each valley of death, we will climb on the top of the Mount of Victory. After the last chapter of Deuteronomy, always the first chapter of Genesis. After sorrow and mourning caused by the death of Moses, there is always the joy and triumph of a new day, a new creation. The Lord is always in the move, and He is the Lord who creates new things. Even if Moses had to leave, the Lord is still the Lord, and life always keeps going forward. When you are suffering and can't see your future, please remember, there is always a future in the Lord. We can find interesting examples in the New Testament. Let us remember the story of righteous Simon. Let us open Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through verse 32. Let's start with verse 25. Luke 2, 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was just and pious, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Ruach HaKodesh was on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Ruach HaKodesh that he would not die before he had seen the Anointed One of Adonai. And verse 27, it's a beautiful verse. So in the Ruach, Simon came into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Yeshua to do for him according to the custom of the Torah, Simon received him into his arms and offered a bracha to God, saying, "Now may you let your servant go in peace, O sovereign master, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel." What a statement from Simon, especially verse 29. "Now may you let your servant go in peace." The whole life of this righteous man, the entire scroll of his destiny, was in one thing. His calling was that he opened the way for the Messiah by introducing him to the people of Jerusalem and blessing him. Simon's ministry ended there when he took the child Yeshua in his arms, blessed God, and asked to go in peace, to let him die. But that was not the end of the story. That was only the beginning of the new life, a new ministry, a new birth, the life and ministry of the Messiah Yeshua. Let's remember the story of a widow named Anna, who served God with fasts and prayers, and now she saw the Messiah Yeshua. It is the same chapter, Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through verse 38. Now Anna, a daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher, was a prophetess. She was well advanced in age, having lived with a husband only 7 years, and then as a widow until age 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And coming up to that very instant, she began praising God and speaking about the child to all who's waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Someone may feel sorry for her. Think of her like she is a poor widow, saw only troubles in her life, lost her husband in her youth, and did not know the happiness of this life. Probably somebody saw her as limited, unhappy, and wretched by not the Lord. Let me assure you, this widow can take pity on many of us because she saw the one we dream about, to whom we pray, whom we worship, Yeshua, the King of Kings, the Messiah. She was happier than many of us because she found joy and meaning in her life. She lost her husband, but God became her husband, her happiness, her life. I love this verse 37. "And then as a widow until age 84, she never left the temple." All her life, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. Her happiness was in faithful service to God. And where many people would break down and judge God and circumstances, Anna found her calling in daily ministry to the Lord at the temple and was given the gift of prophecy. And because of her faithfulness, she was blessed with a tremendous honor to see the Messiah, to see the Lord. Anna died. Her scroll of life on this earth came to an end, but her ministry opened the way for the greatest salvation of humankind. She opened the doors for the Messiah. Maybe she wasn't so famous during her lifetime, but today the whole world knows about Anna. And the most visual example for us is Yeshua's ministry. When he was crucified, there came a time of greatest disappointment for his disciples. Everything they devoted their lives to, and their hopes and dreams of the restoration of Israel, of independence from Rome, everything was destroyed in one day, literally. There was the darkness of disappointment and defeat in their lives. But you know the story. On the morning of the third day, the Messiah was resurrected from death. And with his resurrection, everything what was lost and destroyed acquired new life and gained even more significant meaning than they could imagine. They fought against the slavery of Rome, but received weapons to fight a much more terrible enemy, to fight death and sin. So are our lives. Let us believe the Lord for more. Let us trust Him with His calling in our lives. When we remain faithful to God, what seems like defeat or failure today, it can be a new beginning, a new day, a new life tomorrow. Therefore, keep hope, go forward, serve God, and never be disappointed while you are alive. Rewinding the scroll of your life is worth your time. Remember everything that the Lord showed you and what He promised you. Ask for help and accept a new blessing from the Lord for the future. Today is a new year, a new cycle, and a new chapter that begins with God's words. God created the heavens and the earth. Therefore, trust God. Accept by faith that He has a new beginning for you. He creates everything new. I want to reinforce each one of you with a few places of the Bible. If you are experiencing trials, trust God is preparing a great blessing in the future. Because of your faithfulness to the Lord and His word, your tears will turn into great joy. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. Revelation 21, verse 3. I also heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and He shall tabernacle among them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them, and be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Nor shall be there be mourning or crying of pain or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away." And the one seated upon the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Then he said, "Write, for these words are trustworthy and true." The second thing. Please remember, difficult circumstances create more opportunities for victories in your life. We read in the scriptures about great miracles in the lives of regular people, but we do not always make connections between those troubles and answers from the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verse 4. Yeshua replied, "Go report to John what you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. Those with tzaraat, with leprosy, are cleansed. And the deaf hear. And the dead are raised, and the poor have good news proclaimed to them. Blessed is the one who is not led to stumble because of me." Often when we read these lines from the Bible, we concentrate only on miracles and healings. But behind every healing, there is also suffering that precedes it. Behind every joy of the miracle is the suffering and torment of a disappointed person. The Lord can work miracles, but He expects our trust in Him for who He is, faithfulness and service to Him. Simchat Torah reminds us of this when we finish reading the Torah with the death of Moses and begin a new cycle of reading with the creation of the world. The Lord is supernatural, and therefore we need to keep the faith. We need to keep trust in Him. I noticed that frustration and fear are the greatest enemies of our faith. They are the thieves of our future, of our destiny. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Let us read together. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Now without faith it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I know that Satan and his forces do their best to scare us, make us believe that we can do nothing, that we are unimportant, and that we won't achieve anything in our lives. I will talk more on this topic in the future, but in short, I want to share today one fundamental spiritual principle. The world is divided into two spiritual camps, God's and the satanic. The Lord lives and works in the realm of faith. He gives faith. He answers prayers of faith. And we need to learn how to live by trust in the Lord. It is our daily job to make an effort to change our hearts, our worldview, because we are so used to living in fear and disappointment. Now, fear is a distorted and perverted faith. Fear is a belief in bad things, and it is confidence in a failure. Fear is a product of Satan and the result of the sin of man. And by faith, the spiritual world, angels, and the Holy Spirit begin to move. Now, fear is also a spiritual force, and it works because it is a perverted faith. Sometimes answers can come because of words of fear, and bitter fruits flow into a person's life filled with unbelief and ungodly fear. This is why the Lord's first words to Joshua Ben-Nun was in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, Hazak, be strong. Verse 7, only be strong. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, Hazak, be strong. Do not be terrified or dismayed, for Adonai your God is with you wherever you go. The main commandments from the Lord to Joshua were do not be afraid and do not be disappointed. In conclusion, I want to give you a few tools to help you keep a good attitude. So the first one, please, always remember that the Lord loves you. He died for you, Yeshua died for you, and he took away your fears, your guilt, your condemnation, sense of hopelessness. The second, remember, his will about you is only the best. Remember, there is a higher plan for your destiny. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. And I would like to conclude with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will, let them trust their souls to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. Thank you so much. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing, as we usually do at Beth Israel, and we'll return to Brian and Deanne's Rose home for a final song. Let us pray together. Yivrecha ha Adonai v'ishmerecha, Yer Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.